From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, The Power of the Mind. Well, happy Veterans Day to all of you past and present members of the Armed Forces. In a moment, Danyon Brinkley will join us as we honor our veterans. I got to tell you, I hope you took a little time out of your day today to do that. These men and women go into areas that our politicians send them. In many cases, they don't want to go. They shouldn't have to go, but they do, because that's what they do. So we'll have our little, very special tribute to them in a moment. Here's what's happening. Oh, boy. Look at the story at coasttocoastam.com. Researchers have identified a SARS-like virus that can apparently jump from bats to humans, no cure, though they say it's not been done yet, and there's no indication whether it can spread from human to human if it made the leap. The SARS-CoV jumped from animals to humans back in 2003, causing progressively worse flu-like symptoms in about 8,000 people, killing nearly 800. No new cases of the viral illness have been reported since 2004. Just go look at that story. coasttocoastam.com. Investigators analyzing that deadly crash of a Russian jet in Egypt uncovered intelligence about a two-hour timer, though it is not clear whether the reference came from intercepted communications between known terrorist operatives or physical evidence. A separate source said that based on the facts so far, one of the working theories is that a bomb was planted at or near the fuel line where it attaches to the engine. That jet that crashed killed 224 people on board, most of them Russian tourists returning home. Critics of the Environmental Protection Agency's Clean Power Plan say the new regulation will cost up to $300 billion and potentially raise electricity prices in 47 states. That's just great. The U.S. stocks finishing lower after investors sold oil companies and dumped brick-and-mortar retailers after a disappointing forecast from Macy's. Let's check in with Catherine Austin Fitz, the investment advisor. What do you think? You changing your tune yet? What's going on?
No, not yet, George.
Okay.
We're coming into the season when risk assets start to do well. You know, I've always said more than 90% of the increases in the U.S. stock market come between November and June. You know, it's the old sell in May and go away.
That's right.
So I think it's too early to see the trend and direction yet. You know, the one of the problems the equity markets face is the U.S. dollar is just strong, and if you look at the charts, it looks like it could really continue strong. So that's a bit of a headwind for the S&P.
Well, this is important. This quarter is critical to retailers,
yeah.
Catherine.
And yes, it is.
Even though the shift may go to the internet, I think Amazon's going to have a booming fourth quarter. What about the retailers? Macy didn't do too well so far.
Well, you know, if you look at the stock market, it's the consumers that have been leading the stock market this year. But I think, George, we have a lot of families in this country that are struggling, and that's going to show up in the retail numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, part of it's going to be the shift to online. We are definitely continuing to see the continued shift to online, and the retailers who are doing well are the ones who are good at either online or good at bricks and mortar and online.
Yeah,
you know, the ones who are good at both are really sort of thriving in this environment.
Hey, go to Catherine's website, Solari, SOLARI.com. Thanks, Catherine. An increasingly warped sense of humor could be an early warning sign of impending dementia. The University College of London's study says that patients with dementia will probably have a warped sense of humor, such as laughing if somebody falls or some episode like that. They questioned family and friends of 48 patients, and all of them reveal that they noticed a change in humor before the dementia had been diagnosed. Andy White, the Scottish studio session musician who played the drums on Love Me Do and other early tracks by the Beatles, has died in New Jersey. According to his family, he was 85 years old, died of a stroke. White was chosen ahead of Ringo Starr in September of 1962 to play drums on the single version of Love Me Do and its B-side, P.S. I Love You. It's hard to miss the groove marks that crisscross the moon Phobos, that's the Martian moon, but rather than scars from a past encounter with an asteroid or some other space object, NASA scientists are believing that the cracks are like the foundation of your home, structural failure on Phobos, which means eventually the destruction of that moon. Our science advisor, Robert Zimmerman, with us. I don't think it's going to happen too soon, though, Robert, is it?
No. Well, you know, you might want to take some insurance out, but the truth is that they estimate this is in about 30 to 50 million years.
That's
so don't get too worried. It's tidal forces. The moon orbits Mars in a very low orbit, and it travels around it very fast, and it's very small. And Mars, though smaller than the Earth, is big enough to put tidal forces on it. So it's slowly tearing the thing apart. Kind of exciting, though I wish we could be here when we watch it, because I think that would be very cool science.
One day. But if it blows up, what happens?
Is well, it you know, it's going to break up into pieces. It's not really an explosion. It's just going to break apart. And those pieces will be orbiting Mars just as well. But like any objects, those orbits will continue to decay. Some will fall into the planet. Some will escape the planet. Most, though, will fall down into the planet, cause more craters. If in 30 million years we have colonies on Mars, they probably want to hold up an umbrella to keep their heads from getting squashed.
All right, very good. Thank you so much. Robert Zimmerman's website, behindtheblack.com. A school district in Westminster, Colorado, just north of Denver, is investigating a teacher who said she wanted to cleanse her classroom of evil spirits and brought out tarot cards, and that apparently is a no-no. In a moment, we begin our tribute to our veterans, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Dory here with you. Veterans are especially honored and remembered this day for their service to our country, a tradition that began in commemoration of the formal end of World War I on November 11th, 1918. In a moment, Danyon Brinkley joins us to discuss what we are or are not doing for our veterans. But now to honor our past and present veterans, let's begin with a tribute to the Army. My dad was in the Army, served in World War II. He sure did. Came back and told us some amazing stories. I served in the Navy for 9 years. Can't forget them. That brings us chills, doesn't it? Now, wherever there's a problem on this planet, who do we seem to send first? The Marines. And of course, who watches our skies, who protects us on the homeland here, but the Air Force? We'll be right back. And, of course, when there's a problem out at sea, who do we send but the Coast Guard? Of course, Danyon Brinkley is known for his inspirational lectures on near-death experiences. His works, The Secrets of the Light, Saved by the Light, At Peace in the Light, and he was struck by lightning several times. He died and came back. But there's another side of Danyon Brinkley that some of you know, some of you do not. He spends a lot of time at the sides of soldiers who are about to die. He heads up the Twilight Brigade. And it is always my honor to bring him on Veterans Day to talk with you. And tonight he'll be with us for 2 hours, Mr. Danyon Brinkley. Danyon, what a pleasure to bring you on.
Hey, George. Happy Veterans Day, and thanks for us doing this. I was talking to Catherine, my wife, and I think this is our 17th. I thought last year was our 17th, but this is our 17th annual report.
It is something else.
That's something to be proud of, though.
Yeah, it is. You, and what you do is something to be proud, because so many people have forgotten our Veterans Day.
You have no idea, George. From our government all the way down. You have no idea. And when people look at the size of the military and what the burden is and what's happening, and they look at it, and if they just compare it to immigration, look how many homeless veterans we have, but we can find room for people. But we can't find a place for a veteran to sleep. And when you look at those kind of issues, you get really sane about where American policy is and what we believe.
I noticed billboards up all over town this week about veterans and homeless veterans and things like that. What is being done to help them?
Well, this is what people have to put in their mind about veterans and active duty personnel. For the first time in our 17-year history, we have on the ground in Syria Chinese, Russians, and Americans on the ground in Syria killing each other's support group. That's happening today.
Yeah.
So the veteran, as well as the active duty person, we're sitting at a very precipice and a very hot spot. This is as equal to the Cuban Missile Crisis.
1962. I remember that. I was 12 years old.
This is the same thing right now, George. And we sit here and we're not paying attention to it. So when we take a good look at what's happening in the VA, and we look at it from the ground, because, you know, I'm on the ground. I'm right there among the people. I'm not looking at statistics. I'm on the ground watching it, and because of the Twilight Brigade, I pay attention to what's going on.
And you watch it. Danyon, we're going to hit the break, but we're going to come right back as we have our special tribute tonight to our veterans. Danyon Brinkley with us as we talk about Veterans Day and honoring our veterans, past and present. I hope you've taken a few moments to do that yourself. If not, you can join in with us on this program and remember them and honor them as well. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. We are with Danyon Brinkley. Next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. You can share perhaps one of your veteran stories with us. Danyon, I'll always remember Dad. Came home with his helmet and some other artifacts from World War II. Told us some great stories about some of the things that he went through Yet there were some emotional stories, Danyon, he did not want to tell us. And I bet that's probably the same with many veterans.
And you're so right, George. You're seeing this, post-traumatic stress syndrome, traumatic brain injury, hearing loss, limbs lost. Think about doing the Vietnam era in our time. If you got wounded, 2 out of 10 made it. Now, 8 out of 10 make it. And look what they come home to. They come home to a system that's really, really strange. And they walk back in wounded, okay? And they hear what happens is they get a series of opiates or a series of anti-anxiety drugs. Some guys are up, the guy who we talked to today when I was making rounds said he was on 39 pills a day, okay? And I asked these guys, Afghanistan, Iraqi guys, they had one statement. They said, look, take a close look and see what's happening. They're giving us so many pills that we become, they give us so many pills that we become addicts, then zombies, yeah. Zombies, and then many of us kill ourselves.
Or others, too. Or others, too. And that's what
yeah, and the point of it is they're all pushing for a shift in the paradigm. There has to be a more functional method and more open way of looking at it. And there has to be better ways to serve the in-theater people. They're giving them antidepressants, anti-anxiety. When it looks on the label of the bottle, it tells you not to give this to a person under a certain age or in highly stressful situations. They've been saying that there's been 22 veterans a day killing themselves. That was a sampling of a few states. It's in the 50s. And why? Depression. Ignored. And a system that's in deep trouble. I mean, you think about this, George. We have 21.8 million vets. The VA, which cannot handle 6 million. Wait now. Here's what's going to happen, George. They got 6 million people, and they can't manage it. They paid $500 million for a computer system that's supposed to database the veterans. Not only does it not work, they lost much of the data. Okay, so when you look at how this operates, it's scary. And you look at what's happening to people when they come home, and you look at the kinds of therapies that's in place. I see it all. I look at it and I see it all. And what's got to happen, the most important thing for our guys now is because of what's threatening, which would be world war. You look at the Chinese, the Russians, and the Americans in this little small country and the surrounding countries. What happens if something happens when you're that close? Okay, and then what happens? As our population, mine and your population, ages, and with the Affordable Health Care Act and what's happening, those who once had private insurance are going to be driven in-house to the VA. They can't handle 6 million. There's 21.8 million. They can't handle it.
And with all the disaster, they had a report today, Danyon, that executives within the VA got about $140 million in bonuses.
In bonuses. And think of this.
Jeez.
Do you realize, I'm with you, George. Do you realize, think about this. There are guys who have been waiting a year, more than a million veterans have waited a year to get a review on their medical claims. They're going through driving their families crazy. They're going through all the anxiety attacks, the hypervigilance, what traumatic brain injury does, back injury, knee injuries, so many different kinds of things. And they're supposed to have an appointment within 30 days, 125. Oh. And in Nevada here, and I mean, I have to say that I'm fortunate because if I call Dina Titus or Joe Heck or Dean Heller, if I call them for the Twilight Brigade, I get it done. But it's 433 days here. So if you look across the national average, for a veteran to get in who's World War II, Vietnam, and these past two conflicts, they're looking at 200 days. I mean, think about it. Another thing, this that really gets me, homelessness. The President of the United States is taking the Homeland Security Department of the United States government is going back to court after it got beaten based on their president's immigration policy of allowing 4.5 million people to stay. We have veterans sleeping on the street. We have veterans who are hungry. This summer here, it got so hot, like in L.A., it got so hot. Well, we were buying water because they're sleeping and there's no water. A country's greatness is determined how it takes care of its veterans.
That's right.
And what's happening, though, George, this is the really fun part, George. We as the veteran, we are our force that's been pushed into a corner for not being taken care of. And then they go and throw $30 billion at it, and they put Mr. McDonald up there. He has no idea how this system operates. And I watch it, the policies from the top try to trickle down to the person who's taking care of the veteran. It's not making it. There's 1.8 million empty houses in the United States. We have homeless veterans. And a good thing that the VA does, and this is Dr. Tom Eads, he's created a foster program. So somebody could buy a house, they could take in a veteran or two veterans, they could be able to manage and get that paid for and give them a chance to get out of the system and get started. And like General Petraeus, what can anybody do for a veteran? First, you got to remember they need somebody to know, not thank you for your service, give them a job.
That's right.
Help them find a place to sleep.
Yep.
Help them find a place to live.
Get them on their feet again, for crying.
That's it. This is today. I was making rounds because I had to stay in LA instead of. I mean, I'd stay in Vegas instead of going to LA.
I hear it's cold out there too.
It's chilly.
Yeah.
I had my little scarf on, but I went over to the U.S. Vets, which is a private and government organization. It's where private funds come together and government comes together for helping guys, PTSD, traumatic brain injury, you know, all the things that come, drunk, been high, been tripping, and they're trying to get their lives back together. And I went over there just because I make my rounds, I see what I can get, and, you know, I know what I'm supposed to do, and I listen to the guys talk. Here's a guy in his late 80s, a Marine. He's got his little scrapbook, and he's telling his story and about his son. And he got off the program. He went off and got drunk with all his promise. But he's 80, and he's coming back to the program. That shows success, George.
That's right.
If we don't pay attention to the veteran, then the veteran is going to react in such a way based on the health care system that can handle 4 million that will soon have 10 million because the healthcare system is crumbling. I mean, I'm sorry. I hoped it would work, but it didn't.
A lot of us knew it would not work from the get-go.
Well, you know, I've seen miracles in the government, but I haven't seen one in the last, like, 20 years.
It seems like whenever government, Daniel, tries to get involved in anything, it screws up.
Well, I can tell you where the VA is and how they operate. And I saw where Hillary Clinton said that she's going to fight privatization. And because some of the Republicans, really not Republicans, just people that are looking at how you can cut costs by privatizing. And so they're fighting that, but we have to change it from the inside. I think one of the things that gave me hope, because I was going to be depressed coming on talking to you tonight.
No, you're never depressed.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, these are tough things. And I watched the changing in the staffing. I watched the bonuses. And I've been around, you know, I've been a hospice volunteer 38 years. But I've been in the VA system for 31 years. And I have over 30,000 hours.
I want you to tell us, what was it like today? To look in the eyes of these veterans, what did you see with them?
In a lot of them, I saw total despair. But in a lot of them, because I talked to them in like 11 states, and I heard celebration.
Is there hope?
I believe I would not have fought it, George, 5 days ago when we knew we were going to do our show, and I look at what the numbers are, and I look at what it costs, and I look at how poor the service in a lot of areas are done because of bad management and federal bureaucracies, just like you were describing. You know, you got to fire people, and you got to teach people courtesy. You know, you have to be able to manage that person when they come in the door. Okay, and this is what has to happen, and you have to be able to put what we call functional. There are more people signing up for yoga classes, okay, than taking an opiate. They get prescribed these pain pills. It turns them into zombies. And I know the system is to help them not remember or to have short-term memory or some kind of cognitive disability.
Good point.
Okay, they take their guns so they don't remember what happened. Look at the NOM, taught them baby killers. Okay, well, in this war that they're just coming on, it's the same. It's hypervigilance. There is no rear echelon. You're surrounded by people who are civilian as well as combatants. You don't know who's who. You don't have a uniform, and you cannot tell if it's a man or a woman. What are you going to do?
How severe is the suicide problem among?
It's horrible.
Is it?
It's probably 50 a day.
Oh, God.
Most of them are over 50, okay? And when you start looking at the demographics.
So some of these are Vietnam veterans.
A lot of them.
Wow.
A lot of Vietnam, because here's what happens, George. It's like us. Look, we work hard. You get into a company, you find a job, you put it in a career, and you put all that stuff in the back of your mind. You head toward retirement. What do we all think about in retiring? What are we going to do with our days? But what happens when we don't have a job? We sit around and look at our wife. Okay, so the point is that stuff starts to creep back in. It's never, feelings buried alive never die. And you have so many PTSD guys coming back in. But we have a voting power this time. And as an election issue comes, and you look at what pieces of legislature are coming forward, it shows a change in what's happening. Just like this guy, Bill Lewis, Betsy Ross, the first flag was made out of hemp.
Yeah, we're going to bring Mr. Lewis in next hour, as a matter of fact.
You will love this story, George. And so when you look at the opportunity that's changing, and you look at this chance, and what we have an opportunity to do is looking at veterans' health care and comparing it to the Affordable Health Care Act, exactly what you said, another bureaucratic structured program won't work. Because if you look at what the National Health Care Program is, it's almost a copy of the VA. And look how successful. And look at this. I look at the like John McCain. This happened in Phoenix. This started, and the lady who did this piloted this program through a couple of other VAs. Okay, I mean, I happen to hear things, know about people, and this person was in Spokane and in a couple other places, and this. Not getting appointments for veterans on time so that they could get their bonus became an art form.
Okay.
You know, when you start to look at this, this has got to be from a bottom up and a top down so it meets in the middle.
What is the biggest claim amongst veterans? What do they want?
Hearing loss.
Ah.
Hearing loss is the number one. I mean, it's number one. And many guys suffer from it because rapid fire shots, they don't use so much protective gear because you have to be alert of
That's
what's around you when
explosions
you're firing 155 millimeter or rapid fire of an automatic weapon. Okay, hearing loss.
And these primarily Iraqi vets or also Vietnam?
Everybody. World War II all the way across. It's one of the number one things. It's 41%.
And our World War II veterans, there must be, gosh, just a few thousand left?
Oh, about probably by 20, 21, because some will live into their hundreds. But
not a lot.
There's about 1 million left. But then you got 3.9 million. No, 13 million served in the Vietnam era. 3.9 was on the ground. You probably have another 2.5 million total that have rotated multiple tours.
What we did to the Vietnam veterans was a shame.
We're doing the same thing to the Afghanistan and Iraqis. It's the same thing. 1% of our nation, 1% of our population protects all of us. And because we don't have the draft, they are just someone that got hired to do a job. And that's how they're looked at, and this is how they think they're looked at.
You know how Tommy does his fist pump instead of shake hands?
Yeah.
I saw two Iraqi veterans in uniform, so they must have been just coming back. They were at the airport a couple of months ago. And I went up there and gave them one of those fist pumps. And, I mean, you should see how excited they were, Daniel.
Yeah, because you're relating to them on their level.
Yeah.
Veterans have a unique relationship, and we're going to empower ourselves to make a change in the medical paradigms. I mean, this is what we have to do. But do you ever thought about this, George? When people think about active duty and what Veterans Day is, it's about active duty and people who are serving. Do you realize that we have bases in 150 countries and that we have between 600 and 900 bases in those 150 countries?
Spread out way too much.
Think about that. That's $200 billion a year. And we have guys that are sitting here on the sidewalk not knowing where they are and not knowing when they're going to eat. And the entire federal government should be, and like a lot of us, there's a lot of volunteers. This is what scares me about the VA. The VA has 300,000 employees. They have 140,000 volunteers. Average age, just a little over 65.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
my mother's 86, and she does volunteer work like that through her church. 86 years old.
Kiss her for me, George.
You got that right.
Because here's what matters. Figure 8 years, an average age of 65. And when that way, that was, you know, it was your husband, World War II, Vietnam, Korea. And she's your husband, and somewhere along the line, because they came to visit, they found this passion, just like me. They found this passion. But that supply has to be replenished. Issue with the government. If you go and take a training, let me tell you something I'm so proud of, I'm about to explode.
30 seconds left.
The Twilight Brigade is 18 years old. And this weekend, after Veterans Day, we have 34 people taking the Twilight Brigade training at the West Los Angeles VA, and six of them are veterans.
That's fantastic.
That's success, George.
Daniel, stay with us. We're going to come back. We're going to take phone calls. We're going to continue to talk. Tonight is our tribute to our veterans, of course, and we've got another hour to go with Mr. Daniel Brinkley, but we'll take your calls and your stories next.